I'm going to sit with the lovely redhead, and she's going to brag on Jesus for a moment. Let's come up here.
This isn't so bad. You can see.
Yeah,
everybody talks about the lights. First of all, I just want to say I went to Wichita this morning, and so I had time to just settle down, even though my body's freaking out right now. But I'm so thankful I have a testimony, and I was just washed over and over again with thankfulness that it's real what's happened in me, and I get to tell about it. And so my desire is, if you don't have that, if you still kind of feel like you have to fake it, keep seeking and know that that's your inheritance, is to have that. I wanted to thank him also, the Lord, that his mercies are new every morning. I want to testify about these pivotal, obviously very important times where I came to know him, and he became my king and preeminent in my life. But there's been so many times after, and a sister, there's so many options to cry today, but a sister this week just reminded me how the sweetness of the Lord when we return to him, and the enemy tries to kind of keep us back, keep our little prodigal times a little bit longer because we feel like we have to earn our way back. And so I just want to praise the Lord and thank him for his sweetness, the preciousness of when we come back and say, be preeminent, be my all. I give back what I have taken again, which I've done over and over again. So I was born in a lovely, wonderful, faith-filled home. Early on, I could recognize that my family was real in their faith. Early on, I understood the gospel, and I heard it often. And early, I realized I have to have that. I'm going to be incomplete if I don't accept that sacrifice that Jesus has made for me. And I have to have that. And so at 5, I went forward and I asked Jesus into my heart. I remember to this day picturing him on the cross because I had been taught that. I remember believing, yes, that he had died for me, that he had rose again. I knew I was a sinner, even though, you know, who knows what those were, but I was born into that and I knew that. And so I do believe that I was saved that day and those seeds were planted. I had such an inheritance of integrity from my family, which later I think added to my guilt because I really felt like I had no excuse for a time of rebellion. But I saw that my parents, they were the same, and my brother and sister were the same, whether they were at church, whether they were at home, they were always the same. That's who they were. They walked out their faith. As I was thinking about my testimony and just remembering my life and how the Lord has moved, I remember picking up that through grade school, I had such a battle, such a line of what's reality. I loved my family. I knew God was real, and I had a fear of him, and I wanted to be right. But I had this whole life at school that and with friends that I so wanted to be accepted. I so wanted to be normal. I felt like I always stood out, and I didn't like to be different. And so as I was thinking about today, I remembered, I had forgotten for years, that the first time I felt that was right after I got saved. I don't know if Mom and Dad will remember this, but I was so excited. I was so passionate about being a believer and that I had been saved that I went to show and tell in my kindergarten class, and I stood up in that circle and I proclaimed what I had just done. And it was like flat response, you know, nobody. That excitement was not returned to me, and that was the beginning of the, oh, I'm different, and I can see where the enemy really used that. Fast forward to high school, regular battle, just like many of you believers have had, of that pull back and forth. I was often, you know, rededicating my life at camp. I was constantly trying to stay in the fight, but the fight was always there, and I didn't really feel that relationship that I could kind of see. I definitely would see in my parents. I would always see my mom in the mornings in her rust-colored chair having her time with the Lord. And I, you know, you could see it was, she was with someone, you know, and I just didn't have that. One thing as well was I feel like God gives you seasons of people that bring the truth into your life. They bring grace into your life. They bring strength into your life. And my family was the first picture of that. My siblings as well as my parents. And I always felt that protective covering of the Lord that kind of kept me safe. And as I got older and as my pride grew, as my need for attention and my desire for pleasure, all of that just continued to grow and to be a part. I could just watch, almost like looking from the outside in, I could kind of see where the Lord like let me go a little bit. And I'm really thankful for that now, because I sensed that darkness, that real despair of not having the fellowship of His Spirit, of terrified to go to bed at night, the guilt of my actions due to the rebellion and the selfishness that I was going through. And so I would be in despair at night, but the morning would come and I would give way again to my own way and just that path I was starting to choose. And I don't want to get too far off here, but freshman year of college, I had a little more freedom, a little more away from my family. And so I just kind of definitely dipped lower and lower. And I tried to hide that because I did respect my family so much. So that created this horrible stronghold of lying, because I just really tried to still walk on both sides of the fence. And I think my appearance fooled a lot of people. You know, she's redheaded and, you know, she's just a good girl. And so I do believe I got away with a lot more than I should have. And so all that's working, you know, the darkness is working. It's having its effect on me. My parents, and I'm sure my siblings, were praying for me. That's having an effect on me. The Spirit is within me, and He's working, and that's having an effect on me. And the summer before, I was supposed to go to a Christian college, which I know my parents were like, you know, ready to get me out of there. I think they were probably way more aware of what was happening with me than I thought they were. And there were a few things that happened that summer that stand out to me that I just want to highlight. One, I really didn't think about getting married a lot. That wasn't a big priority to get married and have kids early at all. And my mom took me to a Carmen concert. I don't know if any of you remember him. And he was so passionate. I was just so, you know, in love with him and thought, you know, I want that. All of a sudden, I want that. I want that strong, passionate man, you know. So that seed was planted that summer. I missed my family because I was so duplicitous that I couldn't really be with them. And I missed that. So that desire was really growing, coming back to me. At the same time, which in hindsight, I can see this now, but I was worse than ever. My behavior was worse than ever that summer. It was just like last-ditch effort of the enemy to keep me from the purposes of the Lord in my life. And so by the grace of God and by the patience of my parents, I'm sure there was one night in particular, it was not good. And my parents were not happy with me. And my dad especially was quite angry about some things. And I remember they had said that probably they were going to take away that opportunity to go to school in Bolivar. And part of me was like, that's all right. You know, part of you just wants to go to the dark side. It's easier. And I remember my mom coming out and talking to me and being a wife. I can imagine what she did because she fought for me. And although my dad's heart was for me, he had reasons to be angry. And that college was expensive. And, you know, they were like, we're going to do this. We're giving you another chance. And praise the Lord, you know. So I do want to encourage you parents, keep fighting, know when to let them go. I do feel like there were definitely times my parents just gave me the space that maybe they felt like they were supposed to, but don't give up. Keep praying and keep fighting because there are purposes for each one of us that God has assigned for us to do. So went to Bolivar. I'll fast forward this part. It's the best part, but it's fast. As you can see, I was ripe. I was ripe to be back in him. I was ripe to feel secure in him. And multiple things happened. First off, part of Sam's testimony is the 88 reasons that Christ will return in 88. And I don't know how many of you remember that. Mm-hmm. But that was working on me. I started to feel so guilty of my friends that didn't know I was a believer, that didn't know about the Lord. I started calling them and telling them, hey, by the way, I'm a believer. And if you don't know him, you're in trouble. There was a revival at the school that I went to that was powerful. So like for 2 weeks, maybe like every night I was hearing the truth. There was a friend I was introduced to in a small group situation that the Lord really used to really start to speak to me about God's grace, about his love for me in the midst of my sin. And also created me in me that hunger to be right with him. I saw how happy and at peace she was to be in him. She later introduced me to my husband, who at the time may or may not have been her boyfriend. So that's another story. So we end up at chapel. There's a chapel at SBU outside that you can just walk into, and it was just nobody was there. Everybody was somewhere else. And my girls, I don't recommend you going to a chapel at night by yourself, but I did. And I just sat in there and began to pray out loud, which seemed very hard for me. I was kind of timid in some ways and insecure in a lot of ways. And as I began to pray out loud, reality broke through, and Jesus was there, and he was real, and I couldn't contain it. And I'll have Sam read this verse. I found this, I've heard it before, but last night it spoke to me. For me,
so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed the thing for which I sent it.
Yeah.
For you shall go out of joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills.
So that night, I went home, and I was I was with the Lord. He was with me. I was singing the hymns from my youth were coming back to me. He was walking with me. He was talking with me. And it just began a new season. My struggles weren't over, but my DNA just changed, and some of the strongholds, the most miraculous one was the lying, and that's another long story I won't go into, but it was amazing how he founded me in truth, and he founded me in the reality of the realness of Christ and the realness of walking with him by faith that prepared me to be the wife of Sam, that prepared me to have many children, as was the purpose he had for me, and so there you have it.
Amen. Amen. So what degree did you get at Bolivar?
I don't like that.
A Bachelor of Arts in Sam.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
So we met and got married within a year. It was fast. And I was the recipient of so many prayers and a prodigal come home. And she had received the gospel as a young little girl, but the Holy Spirit did bring her back and didn't give up on her. We just want to encourage you again about prodigals and about the grace of God in doing that. And now Amy McVeigh's life has turned into what it is. So we pray that you're blessed by that. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for your blessing to us in Christ. We thank you that you come after us when we're lost, and you come after us when we're saved and lost. And we just praise you for that. We pray for blessing again on the moms today and those that ache around this issue. Lord, bless them and give them your peace. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the goodness we have in Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless